This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. 5 o'clock. Means it's time for Not My Beat. Don't forget, 30 minutes from now, never read the comments, but let's get to it with one of the day's top stories.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Today, we're remixing the term top story. There's no huge news item, but one of the best stories that we read, like physical articles or digital articles, was one by our pal Ben Standig in The Athletic about what the Commanders can do to catch the Eagles. We've been talking about it a lot this week, and I think broader terms, but Ben really got into some cool specifics, really put the thought and effort into it. So with that, we welcome Standig to the show to talk about it. Ben, what's up, my guy? How are you?
Craig, I'm doing great. Finally getting to chill out a little bit after the season, but we got more stuff coming up right around the corner.
Indeed, we were just talking with our last guest Dan Pizzuta about this. How like the NFC Championship game is a terrible place to go out. You don't have any kind of extended break, and you don't win the whole thing. So you're just like, oh, okay, finally caught my. Never mind. There's no breath to catch. The combine's 2 weeks away. But you I think, did something in a very specific way that was really cool with this article in terms of we think, oh, what do you got to do to catch the Eagles? You got to improve here. And you really looked at it from like more of a matchup standpoint in some ways. Of course, there's the talent deficits that you address. But the part that caught my eye that I thought was a really interesting part is when you talked about how the Eagles won the Super Bowl without blitzing and that they didn't really blitz in the NFC Championship game that much either. It's one of Jaden Daniels' fewest blitzed games. And I would think that's something that a lot of other teams will look at considering how good Jaden was against the blitz in 2024. Why was that something that you wanted to include, and what else do you think is important about that matchup against Philly, and then what other teams might be able to learn from Philly facing this Washington offense with Jaden and Cliff returning next year?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, obviously Mahomes, that was just a very un-Mahomes-like performance in the Super Bowl, and Philadelphia went to the extreme by not sending extra pressure. They were fortunate that they didn't have to because their line did such a good job, and they were able to put seven in coverage. We always saw the stats over the years. Mahomes, you know, what do? If you don't blitz him, he's going to tear you up. But if you do blitz him, he's even better. And then, you know, you just recall, you know, when Washington played Detroit, you know, Jaden Daniels' numbers against the blitz were really, really good. And he, you know, in general against the blitz, he's been pretty good. You know, he's got a really, you know, good feel for what the defenses are showing him at the line of scrimmage. He obviously can make plays with his arms and his legs, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so it got me kind of just thinking, well, wait a minute. If the Eagles just did this to that extent, and obviously they got to play Jaden Daniels twice a year, you know, what could that look like? So that's when I kind of looked to see, wait, where – I mean, I knew that they had blitzed a ton in the comeback, in Washington's comeback win, which is abnormal for Philly, and less so in the other two games. And, yeah, they were the two lowest percentage blitzes Washington faced this year. I would say that the very first game against the Eagles, probably Jaden's worst. I mean, I sort of throw out week one, whatever you think of that. It's probably the game where you're like, yeah, he looked a little more uncomfortable. And I think he looked fine in the NFC Championship game, but at the same time, it wasn't like there wasn't superhero Jaden. And, they did have the four turnovers and, all that stuff. So, and there's some other stats that kind of emphasize just how much Philly was hampering him. They also, in the three games, he threw four interceptions and he had six in the other, 20 games, or 17 games, including the playoffs, right? So, clearly the Eagles were getting to him more than other teams. Eagles have the best defense, but the point would be, well, do other teams look at that and say, hey, wait a minute, when you blitz Jaden Daniels less, that seemed to be one way to slow him down, and that's maybe something that Washington, between Jaden Daniels and Kingsbury, got to figure out, hey, if teams make this adjustment, what do we do?
Yeah, definitely. And Jaden will obviously continue to grow. Like, that's the thing that's hard to remember because he was so good. It's like, yeah, guess what? He's going to get better, theoretically. And even if he doesn't get that much better, like, he played at a top five MVP kind of level for most of the season. So that would be okay with me as well. When you look at the other parts of this article, I think it's the more obvious stuff that most people know. You just got into it at a deeper depth. And starting with just nailing the draft, we know that Philadelphia has been unbelievable in the draft. So many of their key contributors are draft picks. And so before we get to what Washington does in 2025, I think it's worth double clicking on some guys from 2024. And not necessarily just like, yeah, Ben Sinnott's got to play better, a guy that had some opportunities and you'd hope to grow in year two. But what do we know about the progress that was made, say, like by a guy like Dominique Hampton, who basically got a redshirt year that still might be a future starter for this team or might not? We just don't know. What about some of those under the radar guys and kind of what you heard as you checked in on them throughout the year and then ultimately kind of did your summary by year end to figure out where everybody was going into 2025?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think you're right. Dominique Hampton was essentially inactive almost every single week. Jordan McGee, their fifth-round linebacker, injuries. He was, and obviously with Bobby Wagner and Luvu there, there wasn't much room for him to play anyway. The team still likes these guys and their potential, but, ultimately you can practice all you want, but until you get out of the field and really do it, it's hard to know, how you're going to perform in the moment and all that kind of deal. So I think that, the jury's out to that extent. And I think that's the thing about this draft class in general. Obviously it's an A-plus draft because of Jaden Daniels, even if they had drafted you and me in some of these rounds, that's going to win you the draft. Then of course, Mikey Sanders still looks like a guy for sure. Now, Brandon Coleman and Johnny Newton played, but I don't know that we can sit here and definitively say too much about them based on this year. I mean, Newton, I think you got to give him a bit of a pass because he dealt with those two ankle injuries and that really hampered his whole offseason. And Coleman was fine. It's just a matter of, do they think he's a left tackle or a right tackle or needs to go inside? So other than the top two guys, everybody else, it's like, all right, let's see. And then, you mentioned Sinnott, Luke McCaffrey, and then everybody behind them. It's even more than just let's see. It's like, okay, are they going to get more involved this year? Because they were somewhat involved this year, but not enough to say what their future is. I mean, McCaffrey, if he had a more involvement this year, we could just almost pencil him in to start because there's no other receivers on the roster except for him and Terry McLaurin. And yet, I don't think any of us are going right now, boy, they've got two receivers now. Who's going to be their third? I think it's like they need a few more guys, and we'll see where McCaffrey fits in. So I think that's kind of how I'm looking at this whole draft class.
That makes sense. Ben Stanig with us here on the Hoffman Show, specifically to tight end and middle linebacker. How much of the decisions on Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner do you think are being made in a vacuum about those two guys and like what they meant and just going, well, look, we're not going to pay you like top market, but you guys played really well. We want to pay you your market value because we want to keep you versus we're going to let the market kind of dictate. Like, I guess another way of asking it, Ben, that's maybe a little bit more direct is like how much games or how willing are they to play games with those two guys and, let them go test the market, come back to us. We got Jordan McGee and Ben Sinnott waiting in reserve versus just like, no, those two guys are two leaders. We're not going to mess around. We need to bring them back.
I'm kind of the latter. Like, they really had good years, not just on the field, but, you know, in the locker room and that whole deal. You know, Wagner's value, it's not even just being the captain of the defense, so to speak. Like, you know, he's like Jaden Daniels' big brother, and I would do whatever I can to make Jaden Daniels as comfortable as possible, including bringing back some of the guys that were big for him. This is pure speculation. Like, I think Ertz, because of the Cliff Kingsbury connection, that's kind of what brought him here in the first place. I think, to me, and he said he wants to play, that one seems a little bit more straightforward, you know, in terms of playing and, you know, money, I imagine they could figure it out. The Wagner one, I think, is a little more interesting because, you know, he's a West Coast guy. He did come here because, you know, he knew Ken Norton and Dan Quinn from his days in Seattle, and that was a part of the reason why he wanted to come here. And clearly he had a really good year, and this team looks like it's a lot of fun, but, you know, he's his own agent. He does not have an agent. So, like, he is really looking at this purely from, the personal part of this is definitely, I would imagine, even more so than the business side. Not that he's not going to make himself the best deal he thinks he can, but, you know, he's really, you know, his thoughts and feelings are really into it. There's nobody, like, sort of talking him into, hey, you know, I know you want to go home, but these guys will give you this. If he wants to go home back West Coast, then, you know, assuming there's an opportunity for him, he may very well do that. But, I think bringing those guys back is pretty significant. By the way, for Ertz, I think part of it is, like, I mean, Bates is a free agent, but also a blocking. And I don't know what Ben Sinnott, which one he is. I think I asked on the head guy, Logan Paulson, with me, my podcast the other day. I think I even said, like, okay, well, based on what Sinnott showed you, who would he replace?
And, I think Logan went neither, probably.
Kind of. It was sort of like, yeah, he's not big enough to be Bates, but he didn't show enough as a pass catcher. So, yeah, I think that's part of the rub is, like, I don't even know what that guy is. So
right.
I kind of think they need to bring Ertz back. But you're keeping your fingers crossed he stays healthy. That was a rare thing he did this year, staying healthy for the whole season.
For sure. And the other thing with Bobby that you mentioned, like, he's his own agent in the West Coast and, like, okay, well, why did he come here in the first place beyond DQ and Norton? He was wrapping up his stuff at Howard. And I believe he graduated. So I do wonder if that, like, very human element of, like, okay, my thing that I kind of was coming to DC for, that I could now do some of these classes and things that I was doing in person, that's no longer a factor. Do I want to stay here? Now, the relationship with Jaden and the relationships he has in the building certainly could impact. And, you know, plus you guys gave him the good guy award as the best guy in the locker room. And how could you pass up a chance to repeat at that? But it is just something that's worth mentioning. Okay, to the draft this year. We're joined by Ben Standick, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic. Wrote a great article for their website about how the Commanders can close the gap to the Eagles. Some specifically, like we talked about with some of the game plan specific stuff against Philadelphia. But now the more generic just talent gap and where they need to close it. When you look at the 2025 draft, Ben, and what Washington needs to do to close that gap, how did you examine that through the lens of catching up to the Eagles?
Well, look, I mean, I think we know that Washington's core needs. Obviously, free agency comes first, so we'll see if they get aggressive in that realm, or even if they just sign sort of the level of players they brought in last year to help out, whether that's edge rusher or the edge defender. You know, but Washington, you know, terrible against the run all year. And, you know, looking at some data during the season, teams are just gashing them on the outside and before contact. So, you know, clearly that's a spot of need. The offensive line, there is a world where I could see them bringing back everybody. They decide, hey, Andrew Wiley, we can save some decent money if we cut him off the cap, but at the same time, then we have to go get somebody else, and his cost isn't that much for a starter. But then, you know, what is Brandon Coleman? If they think he's a left tackle, then okay, then you are kind of set. If you don't, then, you know, now you have to shuffle things around. And, you know, I guess the bottom line is, I would imagine an offensive lineman is a priority, if not, you know, just a flat out tackle. I think, you know, receiver / playmaker on offense, whether that could be at running back, needs to happen. I mean, you could possibly bring back the same receiver group, but, you know, it's a lot that it's just still very reliant on Jaden Daniels. Other than McLaurin, nobody showed themselves to be a true, like, you know, playmaker. So they need an upgrade there, and, you know, just more speed in general. Again, we could even go through it further than that because they've got, you know, roughly 30 free agents, so they do have a bunch of holes and depth as well. But I think those are the key spots. The one rub is for the draft, this is not to be considered a very good draft for the receiver spot, which is bizarre because it's been like receiver every year is typically the go-to spot no matter where you pick in the draft. And this year there might be only like three guys going in round one that I'm based on what I'm seeing early on. And so that could be a problem if you're waiting for the draft for that. But otherwise, defensive line looks to be pretty deep this year. So they should be in good position to get one of those edge guys.
Yeah, I do think that the receiver position is interesting this year. Logan and I did our big like draft preview this morning in terms of like what does the draft look like position by position on the biggest possible picture. And you're definitely right. Like the top end guys. I mean, last year there were three guys that were like the fourth, fifth, and sixth best prospects, arguably in the entire draft. And this year, you definitely do not have that. But there's some depth a little bit later. And there also are some bigger bodied receivers in this draft, which I think is an interesting quirk that could be very appealing to Washington as they look to figure out their receiving room. The other big area, obviously, that we're looking at is the lines of scrimmage. And that's the last thing that you wrote about. And again, you should check out the full article for all of Ben's thoughts on this. Well crafted in written form in The Athletic. But the lines of scrimmage are kind of the obvious. We just talked about the offensive line. To me, the defensive line is tremendously fascinating. First, what do they do with John Allen? Two, I think that they definitely could pursue Osa Odighizuwa because he's got the Dan Quinn connection and he is tremendously fit for what they want to do defensively. There's obviously the Myles Garrett thing hanging out there. There's Josh Sweat. There's Khalil Mack. Like it is, and by the way, it's a stupidly deep edge class in the draft. So there's a lot of options. Do you have any early inclinations or any strong feelings on where they could go or should go, specifically along the defensive line?
Yeah, well, and to your point of the Dan Quinn connection, right? I think DeMarcus Lawrence basically missed most of last year with a knee injury. Yep. He'll be back. He's an older guy, so this is more akin to bringing in Zach Ertz. But this is a guy that's been a pro bowler, and maybe they think, hey, we can, you know, we know what he's about, the work ethic, and we think we can get more out of him. So that'll be maybe a more or less expensive way to go. You know, I guess, you know, the question is going to be, the broad question is how aggressive is Adam Peters going to be this offseason in free agency, knowing that they've got Jaden Daniels on a rookie deal for another couple of years, so you can take advantage of that savings. Plus, obviously, they just went to the NFC Championship game. Do you think, you know, does your sober assessment tell you that this is something, you know, they can sustain this type of playoff contender level, or does he see it as more of a, well, we've got Jaden, but other pieces we still need to keep building because we still need to been doing this for 1 year as a group. Based on all of that, I do think that, like, the defensive end in the draft to me feels like a logical choice because of the fact that there are a lot of different options for them. Whereas, you mentioned the defensive tackle, if Allen is gone, that could be a way to go. I haven't looked at enough of the offensive linemen in free agency, but, you know, how do they assess that? I can imagine them spending, I guess what I'm saying is spending like say one or two guys, maybe a little bit more than what they did last year with free agents, but where are you doing it? It seems like defensive end is a spot where maybe you don't have to do that because of the draft. And I will just say this. I think, look, we all get it. You got to build up your offensive line. No argument there. And you got to help protect Jaden. But of the two lines, I kind of think the offensive line, if it stayed together, knowing Cosme's going to miss some games, that one feels a little more stable. The defensive line, you know, Allen could go. Dorrance Armstrong was fine, but it wasn't really a breakout kind of a year. He had less sacks than he did the first two seasons, his last two seasons with Dallas, despite playing more. And, you know, Daron Payne's obviously been underwhelming after his contract, and all their other defensive ends like Fowler and Farrell are free agents. So I think they really need to get a young piece there on the edge to go with Johnny Newton, hopefully, and be your core. So to me, draft defensive end and then sign your other guys makes more sense. But that's, you know, as we know, February 13th, let's see where we are in a few weeks.
Of course. I think that's a great point because they already, one, stability along an offensive line is a game changer. So if you can keep relatively the same group together in the same scheme for the second straight year and stack more starts, and obviously we'll see how long it takes for Cosme to get back. But the improvement you would hope in year two for Brandon Coleman is going to help improve that line. So if you just do nothing but have continuity and have your third round pick from last year, who, by the way, will be entering his seventh year, I believe it is, of organized football, get better. Like, that's a pretty, that's not an inexcusable offensive line improvement plan. Defensively, it's a totally different story. And I'm on some mind or of some mind, Ben, to just say, why not both? Like, if you tell me they sign a guy in free agency and also spend a high pick on edge, oh God, we have two good edge rushers. Not that you necessarily want to do what you did with Young and Sweat in terms of needing to pay them both at the same time. But if you do one free agent and one, and whether that's Khalil Mack super short term or Josh Sweat, 2-3 years down the line, and one young guy, like, there are worse things you can have than a bunch of really good guys to get after the passer, especially in the NFC, especially when you're looking at trying to penetrate that Eagles offensive line, which is as good as any in football, and knowing Detroit's out there and San Francisco and some of the other great lines, and not to mention what that can do for you against the run.
No, I agree. And look, as I said, I think Armstrong was fine last year. Maybe he is a guy that is better off. But in Dallas, he was largely, A, he had Micah Parsons to play off of, but B, he wasn't really a down-in, down-out starter. Maybe there is a world where you get more, you know, less is more, you know, play him a little bit less and maybe get the same or equal production. And then also, like you said, if it is a vet like a Khalil Mack, that's probably not going to be more than 2 years. So if you do still draft a guy in the first round, you can definitely play him, you know, a bunch of snaps now and then get him ready for the future. And that's part of what the Eagles have been doing because they've been drafting so well. They constantly have a surplus at all these positions, so they always seem to have somebody ready to step in. So, yeah, I will never object to a team drafting multiple defensive linemen in particular, but offensive as well. You have backup, that's fine. Those groups are just way too important. It's going to be interesting to see how they spend their money. By the way, I think the running back class to me is really interesting with Washington.
Yeah.
You know, because you can keep Robinson and Eckler, but some of these, there may be a cheap town that gives you more speed, and I think they're going to need that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, both guys are entering the final years of their deals. Eckler's taking of a 2-year deal, and Brian's on the last year of his rookie contract. And this running back class is stacked. There's a couple of guys at the top, obviously Ashton Jeanty, the headliner, but there's also a ton of dudes in the third round of, and like, you want a power back, you want a receiving back, like, it's there. So I think it's a great call as well. Ben Standing, writing about all of it and more in The Athletic. Ben, thank you so much for your time on the radio, sir. And we'll either talk to you next week or I'll see you in 2 weeks in Indy.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it.
That is Ben Standing with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, a very important for Anthony, he doesn't know this yet, TikTok update. Very, very important TikTok update. And never read the comments.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's the Hoffman Show, brought to you by the Maryland Vehicle Prevention Council. Maryland drivers, did you know a vehicle is stolen every 16 minutes in the state of Maryland? The key to preventing theft is in your hands. Lock your car, take your key, use an anti-theft device. Learn more about vehicle theft prevention at mdautotheft.org. All right, it is time, 5:30 on a Thursday, for Never Read the Comments, and boy, am I excited.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, so how this works. This is a radio show that also simulcasts as a digital show on YouTube. We take the video of the show and we put it on demand. And we also cut it up into shorts, reels, TikToks, whichever platform you want to consume it on. And we put it up for you to enjoy and leave your comments on. And then we read some of the comments. And there we go. That's how it goes. And before we get into the meat of some of the big Commanders topics of the week, Anthony, there was one of our shorts that we needed to check in on because it has gone, as the kids say, viral.
I mean, if Taylor Swift is involved,
high virality,
there's a chance it goes viral.
Yeah.
And man.
So along that front, I told you yesterday, last week we played a game, did Anthony and I sprung this on him. He didn't know that it was going to happen, but it was Jalen Hurts quote or Taylor Swift lyric. And Anthony actually won the game. Unfortunately for him, in the way that the short got edited, the funniest ones were the ones he got wrong. So a lot more of those wound up making it. And I told you yesterday it was starting to pop off a little bit on TikTok. Well, today I looked on Instagram because I got a little notification a couple minutes ago, and I was like, your reel has 10,000 plays on Instagram. So on Instagram, Anthony, at Hoffman.sports, that reel has over 13,000 plays.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, let me go check it on TikTok. And actually, let me double check this real quick. Because I sent this at a screenshot with the number of views on it at 4:58 p.m. to Rachel. And it had 220,000.5 views. 220,000 views, Anthony.
Wow.
I went back to TikTok, right now, it's already got, in another 37 minutes, another 5,000 views. So it's up to 225,000. It is currently, as we are speaking, Anthony, going viral.
I mean, that's good, I guess.
Let's check in with the comments.
Oh my gosh.
Of course, this has gone viral amongst Swifties. Because apparently, Anthony, unbeknownst to me, because I am not a Swiftie, we were playing a game that many others have played versions of. Apparently, the is this a blank or a Taylor Swift lyric genre is a whole genre that we have tapped into. I think we should play again at some point.
Oh,
apparently, right. It's an easy way to go viral on TikTok.
Yep.
So Emily says, Gold Rush mentioned, I've been summoned.
Wow.
Apparently, that's a deep cut, I guess.
Yeah.
And then there's lots of other Swifties that are like, yes, twin. We have people like Sarah who said, I got 100% only because I knew that wasn't Taylor Swift lyrics.
Oh.
So you had some people who knew the Swift lyrics and were like, that's not a Taylor lyric.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts quote. And then these are my favorites. 4 out of 5, and I'm a Swiftie. What? 5 out of 5. Swiftie here, 5 out of 5. I did 3 out of 5. So people, Anthony, were playing along with you.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
There's also complaints. Nothing from the Alchemy.
Oh my God.
This wasn't even the whole segment. I need to put the YouTube link here. Like, here's the whole segment.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything from the Alchemy in the whole segment, but clearly not the ones that we picked for the short.
Yeah. I mean, there were only 3 Taylor Swift lyrics, weren't there?
I think so. I think so. I love that. Number 5 got me. Taylor uses the word scars a lot.
That one was tough.
That one was tough. I also felt like I really convincingly delivered that like it was a song lyric.
Yeah, that one.
I feel like I got you good on that one.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
We're viral.
225,000 views. Let me refresh again. 220. Well, almost at 226,000 views and counting.
Nice.
Yeah.
We'll be at 1 million soon.
Just 220,000 more for my reel. I'm talking tight ends with Chris Russell to catch it. On the old TikTok. If you want to follow me on TikTok, you can. It's Craig_Hoffman. Yes, I did have to double check my own TikTok handle. Just search my name. I'll be there. All right. Let's get into the YouTube comments on, you know, the thing. We're typically not a Taylor Swift lyric show. Just sometimes it happens, you know. Let's get into it on some of the big topics of the week in Command Land. Not surprisingly, Mark from Largo's call got a lot of comments yesterday. First of all, just comment on the call itself, because Mark from Largo called and was yelling literally at me about DK Metcalf and that the Commanders should trade for him. And he got so mad he just hung up at the end. Just straight up hung up the phone. And Kenny Man DMV 202 says, left you on red, Craig. You got to get him back on the show. He's hilarious and truly is mad. Mark was mad.
You want to know the funny thing, though, Craig?
What's that?
He called today.
I'm of course he did.
You didn't see it, but he called to get today.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
He wanted to finish the conversation.
And then he shouldn't have hung up the phone yesterday. That's how conversations work in the real world. At Jason Marr 8, I thought actually had a really good take on DK. He goes, DK is a top 30-ish wide receiver. Got to give the guy some respect. I agree he's not what we need. Talking about Commanders, obviously. And he's been inconsistent. But he's a super talented dude who could maybe be unlocked in our offense. I would take him on the right deal over some guys in free agency like Debo, although Debo's trade candidate, or a lot of the other mediocre options out there. We definitely need a dude to pair with Terry if we want to stay at this level of success, given our schedule next season. That being said, I agree he's probably not a Commander type guy, and have confidence ownership will do the right thing. This is to me the correct take on DK. My dismissiveness of him in Washington is not me saying he's not a good player. He's a very, very good wide receiver. Is he a top 10 receiver? I don't think so. Top 15, maybe. Top 20, probably. Top 30, definitely. I don't have my wide receiver list. Oh, let me just pull up here on my tablet. My wife, no, I don't have my top 30 wide receiver list. And it also depends on fit and what you're looking for. Like, he's certainly in a bucket that's somewhere below elite, somewhere probably below the next group. Like, there's Jamar, JJ, AJ Brown. Maybe those three are at the very top all by themselves. And there's
CD.
CD, sure, he can go in there too. And then there's the next group of like Terry and all those dudes that kind of go in that list. And I think at the top of the next bucket, however deep that bucket is probably DK Metcalf. And if you want to argue that DK belongs somewhere in the same bucket as Terry, I'll take Terry 10 out of 10 times, but sure, fine, whatever. But for what it's going to cost in draft capital and giving the guy a new contract, and he's been inconsistent as a person, and as a player, like I'm just not interested, and that's why I'm dismissive. Because why have the conversation if the answer is very clearly no? Jay Gassaway 5971, because Mark was screaming about how they needed someone to scare a defense, as if the guy who is literally nicknamed Scary Terry doesn't do that. DK is not scaring any defense unless we are talking about fighting.
He's had his fair share.
He has. And I think that's what gets people messed up. They're like, oh, he's 6'4". He fights a lot. He's tough. He's big. And I'm like, no, he's 6'4". He fights a lot and he plays like he's 5'11". He's really fast. And he can run past people. But different deal. The other big conversation piece of the week was we on Take Command went through all the position groups and talked about like which are positions of need, and really the question, it was in a mailbag, was like what positions are set for Washington in 2025. And it was a really interesting conversation because really the answer was outside of quarterback, where like QB1 specifically and wide receiver one specifically. And I think we wound up including center in there, where it's like, okay, Tyler Biadasz, we are 100% good there. Maybe, like, could you upgrade? Are there better centers? Yes, but I don't know if any are available, nor is it anything remotely worth considering going to try to acquire. Outside of that, you kind of look at every single position, you're like, I don't know, I think we could upgrade there. Not that you're going to do that for all of them, but that becomes the fun conversation of team building and what opportunities present themselves this offseason. So part of this discussion was obviously the Commanders being at 29 in the draft, and Jay, two wise, Jay 24/7 says, I kind of disagree with Logan. I feel like in the past few years, some of the best players in the draft have been chosen late in the first round. A lot of times the later picks in the first round turn out to be better than the top 10 picks. A lot of those players that drop due to some type of quote unquote character issues or bad media narratives end up being some of the most productive players that have something to prove and play with a chip on their shoulder. And I think that this is probably something we could spend an entire 3-hour show on, Anthony. And we could go through all kinds of different lists of players and whatever. Sometimes guys do fall because of character concerns, and it's worth it. I'll give you an example. A guy who was in the news yesterday for a horrifying reason. Kadarius Toney. Fell in the draft, like incredibly talented. Crazy fast, really quick. Helped win the Chiefs a Super Bowl. Arrested yesterday for strangling a woman. Allegedly strangling a woman. He's had all kinds of character issues in buildings in terms of inconsistency, missing meetings. He's been released multiple times. Bad dude off the field, done horrible stuff, clearly needs like help. And I hope that he gets it. And in the meantime, he's also getting arrested, rightfully so, for I don't know whether this is like his partner or just a random person, but some kind of domestic violence or violence against women incident. Like, there's a reason Kadarius Toney fell. Micah Parsons had some very stupid stuff that happened in his college career with some hazing incidents and whatever. He fell. He's been fine in the NFL and has been one of the best players in football. So that one, he shouldn't have fallen out of the top 10. You have to understand who the person is, how much risk they are to repeat their offenses, how much of it was just being a young, dumb kid. Or is this guy that this is someone that like really needs help and or is going to be incapable of acting like an adult and a professional? There's also times where guys fall because certain skill sets are more projection. And maybe if they don't go to the right place, they're not going to be great. And Lamar Jackson, I think, could have gone to a lot of organizations where they do something really dumb with him and his career never gets off the ground because they wind up benching him before he can ever develop into what he's been. He goes to Baltimore. They have the perfect plan for him. They let him bloom to his absolute potential. And that absolute potential is he might be the best player in the whole sport. But like, think about it. If he goes to some dumb organization with some hot head coach that benches him after a stupid pick or a missed throw in his rookie year and then just keeps him on the bench and wrecks his confidence, does Lamar Jackson's career ever get off the ground? And I know that feels impossible because of how inevitable he feels. And it's just like, he would have figured it out. He's such an elite competitor. You can only play if you're on the field. And so I think that some of the guys that we think about that thrive later in drafts often go to great situations and they're super talented and it works out. But if you want the absolute blue chip impact players, the best place to get them are in the top five. And I think the history of the NFL bores that out. Even if you can get them other places, including at the 29th overall pick.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I just think it's, I don't know, man. It's, we're just in a tough situation when it comes to, you know, the whole, I don't know, I'm lost for words.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you're rebuilding or recalibrating, being the 29th pick is not as easy as being the 18th pick even.
Yeah.
Here's the history of the 29th pick over the last, how far back do you want to go? Let's go back to 2012 because it's a really good player that got taken then, like really, really good. Last year, the 29th pick was Tyler Guyton, tackle for the Cowboys. He was very hit or miss as a rookie. Very miss, really. Brian Brzee, good player for the Saints, but a role player. Cole Strange to the Patriots, guard. I have no idea how he's doing, if I'm being honest. Eric Stokes, Packers defensive back, 2021. Isaiah Wilson, tackle to the Titans in 2020. LJ Collier, Seahawks defensive end in 2019. Taven Bryan, defensive tackle. He's still in the league for the Jags. David Njoku was the 29th pick.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Robert Kimdichie. Remember him?
Yeah. Ole Miss guy.
Yeah.
Supposed to be a dog, but
he was number one recruit in the country and then never put it together mentally. Just a nightmare. Also part of that big Ole Miss scandal. Your boy Philip Dorsett, wide receiver out of Miami. Played a good time in the league, punt returner type. Dominique Easley went to the Patriots. Cordero Patterson in 2013. And then Harrison Smith out of Notre Dame, who's been with the Vikings. Going. Yeah, he's still going. Awesome player. So you can get, I mean, Nick Mangold, isn't he in the Hall of Fame? Jet center?
I don't know if he's in the Hall. He that's fast if he's already in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, he retired a while ago, but he's a Hall of Fame kind of guy. Like, he was awesome. He's probably the best guy that I see here. He's the 29th pick in 2006.
Okay.
Nick Barnett played forever. Linebacker for the Packers. Mark Colombo. So, like, there have been guys that are really, really good players. Chris Canty now hosts a morning radio show on national radio for ESPN.
Yep.
He was the 29th pick once upon a time. So, there are a lot of guys that are there, but like, just for kicks and giggles, the 29th pick of the second round, also plenty of guys. Ennis Rakestraw was the guy last year. DJ Turner's playing decent ball for the Bengals. Carlos Basham for the Bills, defensive end, he's a rotation player for them. Christian Fulton,
yep.
Taylor Rapp, DJ Chark, like guys that stick around the league. So you know, that's the thing, is the draft is a crapshoot. The draft is lottery tickets, but your odds of winning are just higher if you are higher. Because if you're good at scouting, there's more players for you to pick from, and you would rather have the bigger swath of guys to pick from if you're good at actually picking the right lottery ticket. That's not really how lotteries work, but you get the point.
Yeah, I get you.
All right, continuing on in Never Read the Comments. Thanks to drafthistory.com, a website I didn't know existed until right now, but one I will probably visit a lot between now and the NFL draft. Still lots of comments on the Myles Garrett situation, Anthony.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I feel like they were a little bit better this week.
I hope.
But I thought this was an important one to read from Kevin Robinson, 8442. Because obviously we were talking initially about The Athletic, and they had this deal that included Brandon Coleman. And he goes, who's to say Brandon Coleman won't make a Pro Bowl this coming season? Anthony, if I told you that you could trade Myles Garrett for, or like you could trade Brandon Coleman, Daron Payne, and I'll just go one first round pick for Myles Garrett.
Let's do it.
And Myles Garrett's going to be Myles Garrett, but Brandon Coleman's going to make a Pro Bowl in Cleveland. I'm guaranteeing you, he's going to play at a Pro Bowl level in year two. But you get Myles Garrett at what Myles Garrett was last year. Are you turning back on that trade?
Send the trade.
Same. And that's my response. And that stops you from acquiring Myles Garrett. How? Yes, getting a franchise left tackle would be great. But a Pro Bowl is different than, like, he's an all-pro and will be for the next decade. If you tell me that Brandon Coleman's going to be an all-pro for the next decade, okay.
You got me.
We'll keep Brandon Coleman.
Yeah.
But that's probably not going to happen. Because Brandon Coleman is probably going to be, like, do we think that Brandon Coleman's a future top five tackle in the NFL? I don't.
He's young.
He's athletic.
I'll say he has a chance. Everybody has a chance, though.
I think it's a lot more likely that he caps out at the seventh best tackle in the league than he is top five.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, if he's the seventh best tackle in the league for the next decade, the Commanders had one hell of a third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you wouldn't trade that dude for Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important distinction. As well drawn by Andrew LaCaruso, who said, simple. You got the best player on offense and Garrett the best player on defense. Let that sink in. Like, yeah, that's kind of the point. Is Jaden actually the best offensive player in the league? No. Is he one of the 10 best? Yeah. Is he one of the 5 best? I would argue that he was one of the best 7 best or so last year, for sure. The 4 quarterbacks that finished ahead of him in MVP voting, Saquon, you know, whoever else you want to throw in there. But, like, Jaden was right there, and he's only going to get better. And if you have that on offense, driving your offense, and Myles Garrett on your defense, driving your defense, that sounds a lot like when the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Like, you figure out the rest of the stuff around it, and that becomes a lot easier because of how good those dudes are. One last on this one from Sean Carey, 7095. Bro, always love when that gets used. Bro, no one is doubting how good he is. There is more than one way to build a championship team. Stop acting like this is the only way and screaming at us that we don't understand. It is a risky move to put all of our eggs in one basket. Sean, I don't think you seem to understand the price of eggs or how many eggs are in the basket. All your eggs in one basket. Yes, as Jaden Daniels is on the other side of the ball. Also, it's not going to cost you all of your eggs. You eventually have to spend resources to win in the NFL. You don't get it. I'm not yelling at you. I am scolding you in a very professorial or perhaps paternal tone of voice right now. Deal with that later. The point is, you're not winning the Super Bowl without someone like a Myles Garrett. You need impact players. Like, I can't imagine watching the Eagles with all of their blue chip guys in the Super Bowl and thinking, eh, just got to get depth everywhere. Like, no, stars win you games in the playoffs when they just look like the best game plans, the best everything, and they just go, bleep that. See that guy in front of me? He's dead now. That's what you need in the playoffs. And you have to get there, and you do need depth. I'm not saying it's an all or nothing, but it's easier to replace the depth than it is to acquire the star. And I think that's the lesson of the Myles Garrett couple of weeks here of commentary, is you do that because it is easier to replace Brandon Coleman than it is to find a Myles Garrett. There are more Brandon Colemans running around the planet than there are Myles Garretts. And for that reason, you don't let Brandon Coleman get in the way of trading for Myles Garrett or, you know, whatever else that, you know, other thing that people are putting up. All right, last but not least, the fun ones. I had a little bit of fun when I was broadcasting live from Capital One Arena the other day, heckling some fans who were wearing random jerseys to the Wizards game. And Jonathan 24500 says, must be a slow sports radio day. The fashion police are out in full force.
Wow.
I responded to that comment, Anthony, on YouTube with the only way I knew how.
Betty Craig.
Oh my God, it looks like the Fun Police are here too. Shut up, Jonathan.
Hey, yo.
We were having fun. Don't you police our fun. And then last but not least, going full circle here, back to things that are embarrassing for the on the internet for Anthony and TikTok or Instagram real form. DMV representer. Although I got to say DMV representer, either that's not your screen name or you spelled representer wrong. He commented on the field goal video.
Oh man.
Of Anthony claiming that he can make a 25-yard field goal and then sending Meg McDonald and I a video of him missing a 25-yard field goal. And he said he definitely made that. And I said he definitely did not. It's very visible in the full screen video. We should have included it. Might have to do a follow-up because the way the video got cut, you couldn't see the ball miss the upright.
See, I wasn't sure if it snuck inside the left upright.
It definitely didn't. Okay, and he said, oh, okay, I thought I was tripping or something. His confidence sold it. Sending a video of himself missing after confidently saying he's done it before is wild work.
Oh, man. No, it is crazy. One of my lower moments in life.
In life? Anthony, I'm gonna tell you this. If that is one of your lowest moments in life, you, my friend, you've lived a great life.
Thank you, Craig.
That is never read the comments. You can leave yours on YouTube at Craig Hoffman, on TikTok at Craig_Hoffman, on Instagram at Hoffman.sports, and anywhere else that you find me on the social medias. All right, when we get back, we take a look at the NFL's quarterback carousel as it continues to turn, and one of my least favorite players is out of a job.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.